Welcome to Brainstorm, Decoding Depression, where we will dig into discussions about mood disorders. We're here to change the way we think and talk about depression in an accessible, approachable way with a leading expert in the field. No topic is off limits. Coming to you from Dallas, Texas, this is Brainstorm.
The opinions expressed are our own and do not reflect those of UT Southwestern, the O'Donnell Brain Institute, the UT system, or the state. Welcome to another illuminating episode of Brainstorm Decoding Depression. I'm your host and guide, Harmony Hilton. Joining me here today is Dr. Madhukar Trivedi, the director of the Center for Depression Research and Clinical Care at UT Southwestern, and Ms. Nicole Small, the CEO of Lyda Hill Capital Incorporated and president of Lyda Hill Philanthropies. Welcome, Ms. Small. We're ebullient to have you in this conversation, and it's such so wonderful to be in the presence of that power. Would you please tell us a little bit about yourself and your background?
Sure. Well, thank you for having me here. It's so much fun to be here and to be able to share with you all in this important work. So I'm Nicole Small. I'm the CEO of Lyda Hill Philanthropies. I've been there about 9 years. We work on behalf of our founder, Lyda Hill, who's passionate about investing in all things nature and science. And we do that both on the investment side and biotechnology and other life sciences work, as well as on the philanthropic side, where we invest in all things nature and science and in the community she cares the most about, which are Texas and Colorado. So we're glad to be here.
Thank you. And to get us started, we would like both of you to answer two simple imperative questions to provide the substratum and focus this entire conversation. Today, we are talking about celebrating women who tell our mental health stories, focusing on women and philanthropy, as well as the research to improving the mental health landscape and how that connects to our youth. So, as a listener, why do I care about this topic, and what is in it for me as a listener?
Well, I'll jump in. So, I mean, I think that we all know we've just been through a really challenging several years in the pandemic. We're all seeing the statistics around the rate of anxiety and depression. The world's a pretty complicated place right now, whether it's COVID or cancer or climate change. Every day you turn on the news and there's something challenging happening. And so I think we know more than ever that we need to focus on improving the mental health of our community, of our country, really of the world. And so I think that there's a real opportunity to learn from what's happening at UT Southwestern and other organizations across Texas as well as across the country. We care and we should care as a listener because these are about the issues of the people we love, the people we know, the people we work with, the people we go to school with, our children, our brothers, our sisters, our parents. And we should care deeply about how they're feeling on a daily basis, given what world everybody's waking up to every day. So I think that's why we should care.
So let me first thank Nicole for taking the time to be here. Nicole and Lyda Hill have been at the forefront of really supporting a lot of activity in the Texas area as well as in Colorado, but more importantly, I think, and funding a lot of research, and they have now also funded some of the work we are doing. But the bigger issue is I think the leadership you provide really takes this to the next level because we've not paid enough attention. I like to talk about the fact that my work is in depression, anxiety, and bipolar disorder. And two things people forget, and that is first and foremost, it is a pediatric illness. Most people who will have depression, bipolar disorder, in their lives will have their first episode early on, within the first 15, 20 years of their life. And by the time they are 30, 70 to 80% of people who have to experience depression will have their episode. So that's pediatric. And the second bigger thing is these are illnesses of women. Boys and girls have the same rates of depression until puberty. Immediately after puberty, rates of depression double in women and stay that for the rest of their lives. So this is a really very common illness that affects the patient, the females, and children. But then this illness, unlike a lot of other medical illnesses, also affects the whole family. So therefore, thank you again for joining, and your leadership in Lyda, as obviously everybody knows, but I wanted to thank you for that.
Those are some really, really poignant things that you both stated. But Ms. Small, as a thought leader who works in advancing science and nature through investment strategies to create change, and your whole philanthropy's mission centers on the belief that science is the answer. And as we've stated, this impact is seen through various areas of your organization. But I really love how certain words are associated with you and your organization, such as, you know, power, as stated earlier, and risk-taking, and you clearly care about investing in mental health, women and girls. Can you share just a little more about why that's important or why it's important to you?
Sure, I'm happy to do that. Well, as you mentioned, and I mentioned earlier, at Light of Hill Philanthropies, we are excited and passionate about investing in all things nature and science. And as Dr. Trivedi just said, these areas of focus tend to disproportionately affect women. At Light of Hill Philanthropies and LH Capital, we try to invest in women as often as we can. And we do that in a variety of programs, everything starting from STEM education for young girls, social agency programs that are happening. We know when we look around our communities that women tend to also take a disproportionate brunt of climate challenges, of pandemic challenges, of workforce issues. And so we really feel that it's important that, you know, we have every voice at the table and every woman is empowered to live a fulfilling life. And as Dr. Trivedi said, you know, if mom's not happy, tends to be challenging at home for everybody, right? And so it's important when you're looking around at rates of things like domestic violence, teen girl issues. We know that teen girls, particularly through the pandemic and post the rise of social media, have been faced with more and more depression and anxiety than we've ever seen before. We can argue about why that is and how that's come that way, but the facts are the facts in this moment. We've got lots of Texas women's healthcare issues at the moment as well. So our women, you know, they get up every day, they go to work, they take care of their kids, they come home and they keep going. And LIDA and LIDA Hill Philanthropies like to invest in those women to strengthen them. Whether it's education, whether it's healthcare, it's important to us that we continue to invest in women and lift them up. So this work is really important.
That reminds me of a very subtle but very consistent bias we have in our system against women. So, for example, the state will fund healthcare for women if they're pregnant. As soon as they deliver, that woman then loses healthcare. And that kind of automatic bias is something people don't even think about, because then the assumption is there is no further need for healthcare. In fact, that is probably the right time to ensure that there is supportive care so that future problems like early life trauma, et cetera, can be avoided. So I think that exactly is why your focus on women is so important.
Yes. And earlier, you mentioned, Dr. Trivedi, a little bit about the Lone Star Challenge, where a goal is a more resilient Texas. So can you please share more about that challenge and why it's important and innovative?
So I think in our mental health issues, especially depression, bipolar disorder, we have two fundamental challenges. On the one hand, we, as Nicole mentioned, we have to do science. We've lagged behind. The brain is a very important, interesting, and a complicated organ. We have not invested in understanding it. And we at UT Southwestern, for example, everyone knows, have a fantastic O'Donnell Brain Institute. Its focus is to understand brain and brain pathology in the next 10, 20 years. So that's one. We are doing a lot of that. And we can talk about it. But the other bigger challenge is, we already know so much about it that we are actually remiss in not using that information. So the treatment for depression, for example, we currently have very good treatments that can influence outcomes in very good ways for 70-80% of women, people who have depression. But the real world, the real practice, healthcare systems in this country do not deliver good care. We don't routinely measure, for example. We don't routinely monitor what is happening. So I tell people a joke about it is I am very good at treating depression. So therefore, when I have see patients, they get better. All my patients get better. The truth of the matter is actually that's not true. What ends up happening is those who don't get better leave me and go somewhere else. So that sort of monitoring that we should be doing in routine practice doesn't happen. So this Lone Star Depression Challenge that we got from Lida Hill Philanthropies is transformative, because what they did with due diligence, they did a very thorough review of this. And so there we were not actually doing pinprick solutions. The idea behind it is, in North Texas, we will actually engage with large-scale health systems in this area, and these health systems will agree to actually transform the way they screen, they monitor, and they treat people with depression and bipolar disorder in their entire population. So we are not targeting small areas. This is a large-scale, pretty exciting, and actually nationally now beginning to be recognized program, where major health systems, Baylor Scott & White, Methodist Health System, John Peter Smith, have already signed up, and they're already using this in their systems. That means that in a very short order, if you are in North Texas, all your care will involve being screened for depression, and if you have depression, you'll be monitored and get the best of care. And that's what this Lone Star Depression Challenge is going to provide.
Well, and just to jump in there, just to give background to our listeners who may not know much about LIDA or know much about the Lone Star Prize, it was really exciting at LIDA Hill Philanthropies. We ran a competition a couple of years ago across the state of Texas, looking for a project that would affect the most people in Texas in the most positive way. And that might sound simple, but it turns out it's not. And we had the good fortune to see, you know, many, many amazing projects that were happening across Texas. And because of the significant need around depression and anxiety and everything going on in the mental health arena, combined with the incredible work that Meadows Mental Health Policy Institute and UT Southwestern and Dr. Devetti were doing, they made it through every round of the competition and came out the winner, and it was a $10 million prize. And it's because the work that you all are doing is going to be transformative in our state for, you know, boys and girls, men and women, but incredibly important. And the opportunity to have that work here in Texas and start here in Texas and lead the way nationally, and have the conversation around mental health and have the conversation around treatment and tracking and all of the things that we need to be doing is something that we should be proud of here in Texas.
And I have to say, I'm very humbled because I'm a one-trick pony. This is the work I've done all my academic career, and I will say this is the most important project I've done. I will tell you, its impact is beginning to be so wide that based on our work already from this in the North Texas area, the Lubbock, Texas Tech Health System is now using our processes and methods for all their health system clinics. And they are screening hundreds and thousands of people every month. And so this is really taking off, and more systems of care across the state and around the country will begin to use it. I just got actual inquiry from the UT Health Systems in Houston, and they probably will be the next one wanting to import this. So I think this is really beginning to catch up.
Yeah, I think you're both touching on something that's really important here. Not only everything that's said, but when we're talking about partnerships across Texas, collaborative care and collaborative models throughout different spaces and areas, can either of you speak a little bit more to that about why that's important? Why do we need all of Texas? Why do we need our local community?
I think it's actually surprising to me that we have tolerated this kind of lower quality care for mental health anyways. For example, a typical medical visit for depression sounds like something like this. You go there and the doctor says, "How are you doing?" And you give an answer that is related to something that happened on your car drive there, rather than having a routinized measurement approach that actually monitors this like we do any other medical illness. And so therefore, we really have to transform it. And then why all over Texas? I think we unfortunately are number one in a whole lot of things, but we are also number one in the least amount of effort and money we spend on mental health. That has to change. We have to change. The reason is actually very easy to understand. We published a big paper several years back where we looked at people who were employed. And if they go to work, so these are not depressed patients who stay at home, these are people who are working. every week they have 4 hours, that is 10% of their time, they're what is called presenteeism. They are there but not able to work. They self-report this. That means it has a big negative impact on the employers because the work productivity is affected. Family life is impacted. The next generation of kids is affected. 1 in 4 girls in this country get physically or sexually abused during their early life. That is partially because of untreated mental health issues in their parents and in the adults around them. So therefore, I think we have to do this, and Texas is a good model to start.
Yeah, and I would add on to that, speaking to the collaborative effort, I mean, I do think that in the nonprofit space in particular, we're seeing more and more effort for groups to come together. I think people are recognizing that these are systemic issues, right? So it's not, you know, a one-trick pony kind of, I'm just doing food on Tuesdays at 8 o'clock for kids isn't enough, that it has to be a systemic change to really treat these things, right? Because when you think about mental health issues, particularly in women, as we spoke to, there's sexual assault issues, there's domestic violence issues, education issues, poverty, all of these things are wound up together. And so I think what you're seeing more and more, particularly in the state of Texas, is that we're seeing nonprofit groups, academic institutions, federal, state agencies all beginning to realize that if we come together, we're going to have a much better chance of solving these problems. At Light of Hill Philanthropies, for years, we have funded and had started a program called Better Together Fund. And we use that capital and that fund to encourage agencies and nonprofits to work together so that we can be issue-focused, not agency-focused. And we're really, you know, we see that across North Texas, and we see that across Texas as groups come together. And, you know, we've got some great groups focused on mental health in Dallas alone, right? MetroCare is doing amazing work. Grant Halliburton is focused on kids. We're seeing even places like the Holocaust and Human Rights Museum focused on their Upstander programs. They're going to see over 100,000 kids this year in their Upstander program, which is when we're talking about kids and some of the struggles in social media. To be able to teach kids to stand up for themselves and not be bullied is a really important aspect of keeping kids, you know, positive. So I think as these groups continue to do this work and continue to work more collaboratively, we're going to see more and more progress in this space.
And I'm hoping to see a world where this becomes routine. We don't actually need to educate people about hypertension and diabetes because it's normal. Everybody talks about it. I'm hoping we get there. But I think the attention, as exactly as Nicole is saying, is really gaining a lot of ground. So I have to tell you, the state of Texas is funding through something called the Texas Children's Mental Health Care Consortium a lot of activity around this. And in fact, we are leading a research project across all 12 medical schools, and where we are getting kids and their parents to agree to participate in a longitudinal study to understand what is the trajectory of their outcomes, what can we do to improve that trajectory. And we have now launched this largest study that is available in the country. And it's now already 2 years old, and we have 1,500 kids in that study, and we are expanding and continuing for the next 2 years. This is thankfully done through the aegis of the state legislature, which is means tells you that the state leadership is also beginning to recognize that we have to work together. No other state in the country, I'm going to repeat it, no other state in the country has a project like this that involves all their 12, 15, 20 medical schools. This is the only state. And so I think that is, again, thanks to the state legislature for doing that.
Yes, yes. That's another way Texas is leading in being a model to everyone else as well.
Well, and the partnerships with the school districts, right? I mean, I think the school districts, back to the point about it being systemic change, if kids are coming to school hungry, physically sick, mentally not feeling well, you cannot learn. So we're not going to advance our state. We're not going to advance our economic initiatives. As we said, we're talking about productivity in companies. If people don't feel well for whatever reason, they're not going to perform at their best. That has downstream impacts. Kids cannot learn in school if they're not feeling well. And so this idea that the state's finally paying attention, that the academic research institutions and Dr. Shvedi's work partnering with all the school districts, right, that's a collaborative effort. So you're not sitting over here saying, we've got this program, come get it if you want it. Partnering into the schools where we can get to these kids when they're young and really connect with them early and often is really, really powerful, right? And we're going to have much greater school outcomes and therefore greater college matriculation, greater workforce opportunities if our kids can feel good when they go to school and when they go home.
And last year, we partnered with 157 school districts in the state and reached 93,000 students. And this upcoming year, we are actually going to obviously go much more.
Yes, I think we're also talking specifically about, you know, prevention, which sometimes we don't necessarily hear in the parameter of mental health in schools.
Because prevention doesn't have insurance billing codes. Right. So prevention is always a more interesting challenge because no one likes to pay for that, right? Yes. But most important thing we can do.
But as a result, again, through this statewide project, Nicole, we have actually organized so that we are going to have a wellness ambassador in each of these schools whose job is going to be available to students for resilience building, prevention programs, and really engage the school student body in the endeavor so that, because we've always tried to do this by focusing on those people in a crisis. And we still need to do that, but I think we have to go upstream and start early if we are going to make a difference.
You know, and I think one thing to be noted here that I'm hearing collectively over and over is we like things that fit us. We like things that are bequest tailored to us. But for some reason, we don't necessarily demand that in our healthcare. We're good with one size fits all. Let's throw things at the wall. Let's figure it out however somebody else. And I know we're moving into a space of specific tailored to the individual.
I think this demanding care is a very, we need community and society to be really engaged and involved. Currently, we are in a position where everybody gets a colonoscopy. That is because we as a society decided that nobody is going to die on my watch without a colonoscopy. We have not demanded similar quality of care for mental health. And that is something we have to do. When I ask general audiences, how many of you had an annual physical? Most hands go up. When I ask how many of you got a mental health checkup, they think I'm the psychiatrist.
Well, I'm interested in all the things that we're saying and about the connection and the story being told of women and youth in our current policy climate. Dr. Trivedi, can you share a story, perhaps, that you feel salient to the subject today to kind of close out our conversation?
I think that this, what I feel is, I now, 10 years back, people used to ask me about depression and say, is this real? Does what happens? Is it just circumstances? Now people don't. So I think the story-wise, I think of it in global terms. We have much better recognition that this is important. We have not yet, I think, gone to the next level of saying we have to do something about it. And I think that's the challenge and the task for us in the next 5 years. Before we end, I would like, Nicole, to get your thoughts on the following. I think if I am listening to this, or if a woman is listening to this, what advice would you give them to figure out a way to get engaged?
Well, I mean, I think, listen, we've got a great role model in Lyda Hill, who has spent most of her life trying to give back and trying to make the world a better place. And, you know, if you have the opportunity to hear Lyda speak or visit with her, I think what she really wants people to know is everybody can make a difference, right? And particularly in the mental health space, right? And your role might be capital. It might be a dollar. It might be $100. It might be more than that. But everything makes a difference. And we have incredible groups like yours and some of the ones we've mentioned doing really important work in our community. So there's capital. They always say it's time, treasure, and talent, right? So there's treasure. There's also time, right? So I think women who are passionate about this subject matter and care deeply about it can get engaged with some of the groups. They should really, if you've got kids in the school districts, get engaged with your school district, because women and mothers demanding change is the only way things are going to happen for our children. Again, when you look at what's happening in women's health care, mental health, we need our moms and our women to stand up for our children and for their families. And so I think you can give time. You can advocate in your school district. You can advocate in your community. You can advocate at the state and federal level for the fact that we need to focus on these things. Like you said, colonoscopies are regular. This other work should be regular too. And talent, right? So you may be able to contribute your talents in other ways as well. And I would say there's a fourth thing, which I think we should not underestimate the value of just kindness. Maybe a woman asking someone how they're doing, talking to people's kids, doing those things as well, right? So I think you can, you know, go to the organizations, but I think every one of us has an opportunity to make a difference in someone's life every day. And, you know, whether you're going to the grocery store, you're picking up laundry, you're coaching a soccer team, none of us know what's happening in people's heads, and they definitely don't know what's happening at home. And so sometimes just that basic kindness and asking someone how they're doing can also go a long way. So I think there's a wide range, and I think Lyda always inspires us in our office to know that everybody has an ability to make a difference, and it's incumbent upon us to do so. And I think that there's lots of ways to contribute to making the mental health landscape much stronger here in Texas.
And I think you hit it on the head, because we in academia, we in research can do a lot, but I think it only makes a difference if the society and community really demands and gets engaged. And so a simple thing a mother can do is make sure that you give the time to the child and give them permission to share if they are running into any problems.
Yeah, there's a whole lot I'm hearing, connection and belonging, and there's so much research, what I term that as engagement. It truly is present. But can you tell us, let our listeners know how to reach out to you or how to reach out to Lyda Philanthropies specifically?
Sure. Well, we've got a website, www.lydahillphilanthropies.com, if people want to know more about the work we do. We are love for people to learn more about what we do, and we hope if people take a minute to come to our website, they're going to see some of the amazing organizations in our community, and we hope that that will inspire them to take a page out of Lyda's book and go out and support those organizations as well. So we love it when we can inspire other people to also support in all the ways we talked about.
And when you hear that Lyda is speaking somewhere, go and show up. It is very inspiring to hear her talk about it. I thank you so much, Nicole, for taking the time and coming, joining us. I think that your and Lyda's investment, not only in your funding, but also your leadership, is really what makes the big difference. And I think we need more of this.
Well, thank you for the work that you're doing on behalf of all of our children and women and girls in our state. We're so grateful for all of the work that you're doing. And thank you for having us here today.
Well, that's it for this episode of Brainstorm, Decoding Depression, with your guide from the Center for Depression Research and Clinical Care. Please be sure to follow us on social media at UTSW_CDRC so you don't miss our episode announcements. If you have any suggestions for topics or questions you'd like answers, send us an email at decodingdepressionpodcast@utsouthwestern.edu. Thank you for listening. See you next time.